Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Gaiman, your fanatic. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, dude. It's a nice, beautiful day here in Colorado. Temperatures are in the upper 50s or mid 50s.
Yeah,
same here. And it is the Super Bowl day today. So whenever people listen to this, today is the Super Bowl.
by the time people listen to this, it'll be last week was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But for us, it's the Super Bowl today.
For our listeners, tomorrow is President's Day. So
true. Are you off for President's Day or no?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I'm not either. And no. I've been pretty good overall. I bought a new motorcycle. I am getting it inspected by the state tomorrow. I have to like drive 2 hours out for that in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be working remote in some coffee shop down past the springs somewhere.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's fun. That's really the most exciting news I think that I remember currently that is happening.
What kind of motorcycle did you get?
So I got a 2007 Yamaha WR450F, which is when you buy it, you can't buy it street legal. It's a dirt bike.
Okay.
But mine has all the blinkers, all the safety wear.
Is that necessary? Is that like a Colorado thing?
No. Like,
because I feel like in Texas, I saw people like driving dirt bikes on the road all the time.
Right. You can buy dirt bikes. Like the bike that I have, my other bike. You can buy that one street legal. So there are some bikes that you can buy street legal that are dirt bikes that are called dual sports.
Like different versions of them.
Right.
Gotcha.
But the WR and the YZ, that none of those bikes become come street legal.
What when you buy them? Like, what's the difference between them that makes it street legal or not?
Right. So there are emissions tests that you have to become street legal. There are sound dampening necessities.
Yeah.
That you need to become street legal. And there are blinkers, brake lights, horn, high beam, low beam, all that stuff. And on a lot of motorcycles, or at least dirt bikes, when you buy them, most of them don't have any of that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I hopefully have everything ready to go. The only thing I'm a little bit worried about is there's a sound damper that you're supposed to have in the exhaust, and I don't have that.
You have to get it installed.
Which could be a problem for me. I don't know. I don't have the time to buy one, so I go there tomorrow, and if I fail, it's going to be because of the sound,
damn,
the decibels that my bike throws out. But we'll see.
Did you end up trading in your other bike, or you just have two bikes now?
No, currently I have two bikes. I'm gonna at one point during the summer probably just clean up my other bike, my other Yamaha, and sell it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I have two in the garage currently.
Where did you park your other one? I feel like you barely had room for the one.
I parked both of them like right next to each other, and my car just doesn't sit as far back. So it sits kind of in like the driving lane, but
I gotcha.
Like it. Yeah. What are they going to do?
We also have future for us, past for our listeners, but Valentine's Day coming up here.
That is true. On the 14th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing for that? Do you have any plans or
right now? Don't have any plans. It is it's Valerie's due date. So,
oh shit.
Sometime in the next few days here, there's going to be a brand new baby.
Whoa, that's going to be so fun for the family.
Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting. Are you guys pumped or what?
Yeah, I think it'll be exciting.
For sure.
I'm curious to find out, cuz they said they've already decided on a name, but they like wanted to wait to tell everyone until after it's born. So I'm just
that's cute.
I'm just curious.
Dang. So no one knows except for them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I feel like with Elena being all nosy and stuff, she would already know, but that's impressive.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she's tried, but when Valerie and Xander don't want to tell someone something, they don't.
They don't. I respect the shit out of that. That's awesome. Well, keep me updated on that news. That's major.
But yeah, other than that, no. I mean, we'll probably end up like, I don't know, maybe we'll like go out to eat or something, but we don't really have any like solid Valentine's Day plans.
I feel you. Yeah, I asked Sydney about that, and I was like basically around the lines of, can we just move it to the weekend? Because Valentine's Day on a Wednesday is just kind of weird because work and just too much.
It's a Tuesday, honestly, not a Wednesday, like, but still
it's Tuesday.
Weird.
Yeah, And I just hate Valentine's Day, quite honestly. It's just such a dumb day. I don't understand it, but whatever.
Why would I want to hang out with a person I love? Ridiculous.
I mean, you always do that, you know? Like,
I mean, yeah, but holidays are like an excuse to like go extra about it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But besides Valentine's Day, is there anything fun going on with you or all regular Joe?
Hopefully wrapping up my project really soon. It's already so behind. But I mean, there's only so fast I can go.
That's fair. Are you guys getting fined for it?
I don't really know how the relationship works with us at Walmart on a situation like that. But I mean, definitely the people at Walmart aren't happy about it, but
yeah. Wait, did you just beat a yawn?
What?
Did you yawn just then?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I heard it. I was like, he's fighting a yawn, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to stop talking, so I just talked through my yawn.
I heard it. Okay. But yeah, usually like, I guess with other, it's usually in the contract, so it should be written there like, hey, if you're this late, there comes of accumulation of fines every however long.
Yeah, but which I would assume is just like, because it's weird to fine someone who you're paying. So I guess that would just be something that like comes out of our paycheck.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, shit, I hope that gets done soon. What? When do you envision it being done? This next week or what?
Hopefully, yeah. So, okay. So I've just finished up my first set of like red lines with my project lead. And then he's going through and doing another set of red lines. And then we have to send it to someone in Kansas City who's going to do a third set of red lines.
Oh my God, you guys are really behind. What?
So I have two red line sets left to go. And then I have to send it to the signing architect.
Wait, but it's not like really your fault though, right? I remember like you were waiting for someone to get you something, right?
There's been a lot. I mean, yeah, it's a shared responsibility, but some of it has been waiting for other people to do shit. Some of it is I started the project late because the project I had before this one ran late as well.
Oh.
But that's like it's a running issue. And I feel like this past year it's been pretty good. But like especially the first like 2 years ago. Like everyone was running the same issue where like they'd give us a set amount of time to do a project and then the next project would be scheduled to start right after that one. But then the projects always go like two plus weeks over. And so then you're like losing time on your project after that. And it's just like this snowball effect where your project takes a long time. So then your next project takes a long time. And then the project after that is behind. It's like,
that's bad planning from all around. Like people should know that there's always going to be a sense of, you know, something is going to go wrong. It's not ever going to be 100%.
Yeah. And they're working on it, which is why I think this past year was like a little better. I didn't get behind until my last project.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Well, let's hope that shit gets done and put it out the door.
Yeah.
Well, and also is good.
I know that the window between like starting the project and construction starting is like shorter on this project than on other projects. Like I looked at the dates earlier and like my last project, I started in like beginning of November. And then this project, technically I based out beginning of December. And then like we're already losing time starting a project in December because like our people are like going out for holidays and going to be out of the office. Our consultants were all out of the office for a good amount of time. So there was just like the second half of December was just nothing. Like nothing got done during that time.
Yeah. Not a lot of people do things or like start projects in December. They usually know like January is when the ball starts rolling.
Yeah. I don't know why it got set up that way, but that was already dumb. And then on top of that, like even though there was like a month and a half of difference between starting my last project and starting this project, the difference in time between when my last project starts construction and when this project starts construction, but the difference in construction date is like less than a week.
Whoa, that's a fast moving schedule.
Yeah, so I think
damn,
the construction for my last project starts, I want to say like May 20th or something like that. And then construction for this one is like May 24th.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully everything is done by then. I don't know. That's...
So, I mean, obviously, like, yes, technically the project has until that time, but also, like, it still has to go through permitting and bidding and all that stuff. And my managers are... already been talking about like having an expedited process to get all of that stuff done.
Yeah, wait, Walmart doesn't have like a team already dedicated to all their projects to get the work done to their standards?
What do you mean?
Like some firms have like a dedicated team to where you don't have to start bidding, like a bidding process.
I guess not. Walmart like does bidding.
Huh. For every project. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I guess maybe their standards just aren't like super crazy.
Or maybe they just want to keep a competitive pricing on the contractors instead of having like a set. Well, you know what I bet it is? I think it's not like it may not be like an open bid. It may be like because Walmart is so big, they have several dedicated teams. And so they just bid between the ones that are like already on their list.
Yeah, that would make a lot more sense. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, besides all of our fun things, what film are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about the 2022 movie, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
That is the one.
It was directed by Ryan Coogler. It stars almost all of the people from the first movie, with some notable absences, as well as Tenoch Huerta as Namor.
Yeah. What did you think about the movie overall?
I thought... it was kind of a mixed bag for me. I think it was 100% not as good as the first one.
Okay.
I'm kind of on the fence on whether I think it's a bad movie or not, but I definitely don't think it's a good movie.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I personally didn't think it was like the greatest movie of all time, right? But I did think it was worth me watching it for 3 hours once.
Yeah, it's a long movie too.
Yeah, it's like what, 2 hours and 48 minutes or something crazy?
41, but yeah.
Yeah, I like looked it up last night because I wanted to watch it yesterday to be fresh. And I was so darn tired yesterday. Like I literally couldn't keep my eyes open even for dinner. And so I told Sydney, I was like, I have to watch this movie tomorrow morning. I literally can't watch it.
Yeah.
And so we watched it this morning. I got up at like 7:15 and started watching it. And dude, I honestly enjoyed watching it in the morning and being like awake for it and having my day start off with this long ass 3 hour movie. Cause I don't know, for me watching it in the morning, it didn't feel that long.
Was this your first time seeing it or did you see it in theaters?
That was my first time seeing it.
All right.
Yeah. But overall, I'll talk for Sydney and I both. We thought it was a good watch. We both got emotional during the movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's a good movie to go watch. I really do. I don't think it was a bad movie, but I also don't think, like I said, it was the greatest movie of all time. I just think it was very mid, maybe a little bit above mid for me.
Okay.
Not comparing it to anything. Yeah.
Yeah. It had a budget of $250 million, and it made about $840 million.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me, especially because, you know, the Black Panther himself passed away, I believe, during the filming of this movie or prior to.
I don't think they filmed anything with Chadwick for this movie.
Mm. See, what I thought happened was that they were starting to film it and then he passed and they kind of changed the front line of their story, but maybe not.
I mean, it was definitely written with like they were planning on having him still, but I don't know if they got to filming before he died.
Right.
For reference, this one made $840 million. The first Black Panther made about $1.4 billion.
Oh, I didn't know it was that big of a gap, quite honestly. I'm surprised, honestly, too, that this movie didn't get more because of Chadwick Boseman passing.
Well, I think
that's why they got less.
Yeah, I think you can really feel the lack of like his presence not being there is tangible. And I feel like it affects the movie.
Mm. It definitely focused on him a lot in this movie, which I do understand and I do respect and I do like that they did that. But at the same time, like you said, there was a big gap and I feel like you could almost feel them scrambling to like fill that void with like a different type of storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it's not like anyone else in the movie is like a terrible actor or anything, but I feel like no one there was no one to really like fill the role the way that it needed to be filled.
Yeah, like main character centric kind of thing.
Yeah, it just felt like a movie full of side characters.
That's true. I mean, yeah. Towards the end, though, I feel like they did kind of get a grip on like the route they were going and how they were like pulling things back together after losing such a big part of Black Panther.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, I think that's kind of what got me to like, I won't spoil anything, but at the very end of the movie, I was thrown for a huge loop that I was like just emotionally and like mentally not ready for.
Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I think that got me like extremely excited for a possibility of them maybe filming another one.
Yeah, we can get more into that later. But first, let us step into the boxing ring.
Let's do it. And I think I am supposed to go first here.
Yep.
All right. Let me get my mind right. After Wakanda suffered a big loss of the Black Panther, they were struggling with keeping their power in the world to themselves. Because of human meddling, Wakanda and its people are put in danger by an unforeseen foe that they need to dig deep in order to protect what they believe in and hold valuable.
All right. I'm gonna say after the untimely death of King T'Challa, Wakanda finds itself, Wakanda becomes involved in a conflict with a new advanced civilization with access to vibranium, led by a vengeful man named Namor.
That was good. You mentioned a lot of stuff.
All right, let's see here. This says Queen Ramonda, Shuri, M'Baku, Okoye, and the Dora Milaje fight to protect their nation from intervening world powers in the wake of King T'Challa's death. As the Wakandans strive to embrace their next chapter, the heroes must band together with the help of War Dog Nakia and Everett Ross to forge a new path for the Kingdom of Wakanda.
Okay.
I feel like, hold on, I need to look up the original movie because we should have known better. I feel like the first movie also had like a really strangely detailed thing.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, it did. I don't know why this is just like a weird Black Panther thing, but both of these, the description is like they just want to mention every single person in the movie.
Jeez, yeah, they mentioned the whole cast. Like what? Okay, you mentioned King T'Challa.
I did do that. They didn't mention Namor, though.
Yeah, so that's a minus point, so you're back at zero. You mentioned too much, all right? I don't know. I mentioned that they were fighting like an unknown, I don't know if I said power, an unknown enemy. I don't know exactly what I said anymore, where they mentioned that a new world power was rising. So I don't know if that works or not.
I don't know. I also said a new advanced civilization. They said intervening world powers.
Yeah.
So that like literally doesn't tell you anything because that could just be like other countries.
True.
That's a tough one. I don't think either of us really got it.
I agree with you. That's tough. They really did spoil like almost the whole plot.
I mean, I feel like plot wise, they didn't say that much. They just like,
I don't know. I feel like them banding all together with the whole Wakanda team.
Yeah, but they always band together. They're like the main five people in Wakanda.
Well, not with like the bear people, like literally everyone in Wakanda banded together. And that's kind of what it said, though.
Yeah, I suppose. I view M'Baku as one of the main people.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, he is definitely one of the main characters, but I wouldn't say that he's part of, like, he's not a big part of, like, the Wakandan people because he's, like, an outsider almost.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Well, GG's.
GG's.
They gave away a lot. So you don't read that before you watch the movie, I guess.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we will talk about this movie.
We shall.
Look how quick that break was.
Super fast. Where's my super suit? I don't know why that just came to my head, but it
me
did.
Me either.
I said super fast, and I was like, ah, oh, I remember this. Okay, let's see. Should we start with a spoiler opener?
Yes, I believe we should.
All humans wanting to watch this movie. If you don't want this movie spoiled, don't listen.
All right, and with that, people know now that this is about to be spoilery.
All right.
Where do you want to start?
I think we should start at the very beginning, a very good place to start.
The very beginning or the middle or the end or overall.
This movie had, I think, a very powerful opening. We get obviously the cold open with Shuri trying to recreate the herb. Was like very frenetic, and the camera moving all over the place. Like they just like drop you right into that moment. And I think I was watching it in the theater. I was like kind of I guess like curious how the scene was going to play out, because I was like surely they like this can't work because they can't bring T'Challa back. But also at the same time, I was like, I don't know, are they gonna like try and show a scene of her like going to his bedside? Because I was like, that's weird, because then they'd have to have like I don't know, some sort of like deep fake T'Challa or something like that.
Yeah, and but, I'm sure a lot of people would not have been happy with that.
Yeah, but I think they made the right decision in not showing him, and I think the opening scene really works to sort of like just immediately drop you into this crisis. And mm-hmm. then when Queen Ramonda comes in and she's like, no, he's gone. And it goes into the like Marvel page flip logo thing. And all of the images are Chadwick Boseman, and it fucking gets you, man.
Yeah, that start was super emotional. I mean, even like within the first minute, you could tell like this was already a tribute piece to Chadwick Boseman, and that people, at least in the Marvel, you know, film industry of this movie, knew that they had to, you know, pay tribute to this man.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it gets you. It like really does get you.
And the funeral scene was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it was still very sad, and like it, you feel the emotional part of it, but at the same time, I think it's like, it's nice both within the movie and for Chadwick in real life, that rather than it being like everyone's all sad and crying, it's like this citywide celebration of his life and like what an amazing person that he is.
I agree. Yeah, I was going to say that as well. And I loved the way they filmed the requiem of them traversing from the main building to where his casket is being picked up.
Yeah.
With like all of these slow motion shots walking down that funeral line, and you know, like you said, all the people celebrating, and just, you could tell the joy was there and the sadness. It was like a yin and yang, because yeah, like the mother, you know, the queen was looking around, and then she saw that big mural of him on one of the billboards there, and you know, emotional. And then you could see his sister, Chadwick's sister, was also extremely distraught and threw herself on the casket. So it was like a very, very beautiful yin and yang of these slow motion, happy dancing scenes, but then as well as these tears, these real tears that people were feeling while they were filming this. I'm sure this was, you know, such a deep cut for each one of the characters, the actors.
Yeah.
That a lot of the emotional investment they had to play wasn't hard for them to muster up.
Also, side note, I believe it's yin and yang, not yin and yang.
Yin and yang?
Yeah. The first one doesn't have a G on it.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Well,
but
you just offended all of our Asian listeners.
Sorry about that. Sorry about it. Yeah, but basically beautiful. And I'm sure that I was thinking, like, even today, if you think back to him passing, it is upsetting, even for me, like just not even knowing him and having seen him in a few movies.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine these people that were super close to him and knew him as this like great, like down to earth person having passed, and then having to go.
Every time they talk about T'Challa in the movie, it definitely felt like they were also talking about Chadwick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was
like they made it. It wasn't like some accident. It was like in the movie, he died of a disease, which is how Chadwick dies. And Shuri even talks later about how she's upset because She said that he was like suffering in silence and he never told anyone. And then by the time everyone found out, they couldn't do anything to help. And
that's like already too late.
What really happened?
Yeah. Like there are all these videos of him. Like, I don't know if I said this in the last movie, but I think I may have. Like, there were all these scenes of him like falling asleep during, you know, team meetings and interviews and whatnot. And it was because he was going through it, you know, and no one knew. But yeah, he just kind of kept it to himself. I'm not quite sure why he would have done that, but
yeah,
all the more power to him. So after that sad opening with the funeral and, you know, the sister trying to save him, where do we go from there?
We can bounce to the end because I feel like just to like get all of the main Chadwick stuff out of the way, because I feel like the really powerful moments are the beginning and the end, and all of the other stuff in the middle we can get to in a second.
I agree.
But yeah, I think very, very similar. I think I definitely, at the beginning and the end when I saw it in theaters, I cried because, like I said, the Marvel logo at the beginning having all of those images being him, and then at the end when like Shuri is just sitting by the fire and just like that moment of silence, and you just see her like remembering all of the moments with her brother, and it just like it was a lot.
Yeah, it hits. I know, like at that point, like quite honestly, me personally, I didn't cry at the opening scene. I didn't cry when she was remembering him. For me, it was the bombshell to where Chadwick's girlfriend, wife,
T'Challa,
lover, yeah, when she walks back out and wants to join her at the fire with the kid,
yeah,
that is what got me. That I was not anywhere near emotionally ready for, and having her be like, "Hey, can we join you?" and the look of shock slash awe slash just amazement, pure love on, you know, the sister's face was just, I couldn't handle it, bro. I started crying right there immediately with Sydney. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, it just gets you in like a different way for me, at least, seeing his kid and her being like, hey, this is your aunt. I was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah, I think the kid itself, I think, was really sweet. It felt kind of weird to me that his name was also T'Challa. I felt like he should have had a different name.
Maybe, but I don't know what like their customs are. Like, was he T'Challa Jr. or what?
I mean, yeah, he would have been, I guess, if his dad's name is T'Challa. Because no one else in the series has the same name as their parent.
Well, maybe not, but he's in line to become king.
I don't see how that affects it.
I don't know if they have like some certain rituals to where those certain people need to have the same name. Well, I don't know.
T'Challa's dad wasn't named T'Challa.
That's fair. I don't know. It didn't bother me, quite honestly, because he had a different quote unquote human name, which I don't remember. But
we had a Haitian name.
Haitian name, yeah.
Which was Toussaint.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe that's different, but
yeah, I just this might just be like because sometimes it can be hard for me to like separate what's happening in the movie from the movie itself. But I feel like naming that kid T'Challa, to me, just felt like an excuse to like maybe 5 years from now we can just like have him like take over the role and just like be T'Challa. But I feel like they, even if they wanted to do more Black Panther stories, like they could have just like done the stories and had him as a different character. I don't know.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I also don't see a problem with him having the same name. It doesn't really bother me at all.
Because it almost feels like a soft recast to me. And I don't know like what your feelings are on like recasting roles. And like, I know like it's happened before in Marvel plenty of times where like a character is just like all of a sudden not played by the same person. And they could have gone that route and been like, no, T'Challa is still alive, but it's just a different actor now. But they chose not to do that. But then going back at the end and being like, oh, and here's this kid whose name is also T'Challa. It felt like they were just like recasting him in a different way.
I mean, I'm sure we can find some type of reading online material of like them explaining why they did that move.
Maybe
there has to be a reason that, I mean, is just well,
deeper. That's what I'm saying. I think the reason is because they want T'Challa to be a character in the MCU.
I mean, but him having a different name wouldn't have done any difference, you know?
Why wouldn't have? why wouldn't it have?
Because then there would have just been another character in the MCU with a different name.
Yeah, I have no problem with new characters.
Yeah.
But he's, I feel like he's not really a new character. Like, they're just going to treat him like they would if T'Challa was, like, if he was the same person.
I mean, I guess we're going to have to wait and see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, for the viewer, that was those were the most emotional parts in the whole movie for me personally. I know when the queen passed away, when she drowned, that got Sydney. I heard her sniffling next to me.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that one at all. I feel like I couldn't even be sad about that one because it was just like came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did. And I wonder why that happened. You know, like there was no real reason for them to do that.
Yeah, because there was like this whole heroic scene with her, like she wakes up underwater and then like goes and rescues Riri.
Yeah.
And then it like very next scene, she's like face down in the water. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah. Do you think that maybe the actress / the actor just didn't want to keep going because Chadwick Boseman passed away? Do you think that was her way out?
It might have been, but I don't know if it would have been like as a, I don't know. I don't want to make any assumptions. I don't know what Angela Bassett's feelings about being in this franchise are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know either. I don't really care, quite honestly, but whenever I saw that scene, to me, it was like, that was her way out because she didn't want to be in a movie where Chadwick Boseman wasn't a part of anymore. And for her, it was also the end when he passed.
It's possible.
I mean, that's just like the feeling I got and the thoughts that came to my head when I was watching it. But who knows what really went on. But like you said, again, it just caught me so off guard. And it was just such a dumb death.
Yeah.
That I feel like it was a little bit, you know, scrappy and put together.
Give me a second. My turtle's being annoying.
All right.
He literally just like back and forth was going up and down his ramp and being the noisiest freaking person in the world.
Wait, why?
I don't know. I'm sure he was just having fun, but he just like down the ramp, up the ramp, down the ramp, up the ramp. And I'm like, bruh, just sit still.
He was enjoying himself.
Well, he can enjoy himself when we're done recording.
Wait, so what'd you do? Take out his ramp?
No, I took him out.
Wait, oh, you put him on the ground?
Yeah.
I'm dead. That's too funny.
Okay. All right. We were talking about Ramonda's death. I think on the topic of Queen Ramonda, I really liked, and I'm pretty sure, I'll have to look it up real quick, but I'm pretty sure she got, like, hold on.
You think she got some awards or what?
I think she got nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, wow.
Especially because that the scene after Shuri gets lost and Okoye goes back to Wakanda and she like yells at everyone about how she's lost everything.
Uh-huh.
That was like a freaking bomb scene. And that
I agree,
the speech for sure. Was amazing.
Yeah. I just don't know how people are picked for that stuff, the Grammys and all that. So I'm just
Yeah, she got nominated for an Oscar.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's all the way that people get nominated is basically it's the Oscars and the Grammys and all of those award shows. It's just one big popularity contest. It's honestly like kind of stupid because it's like all of the people that because the other name for the Oscars is the Academy Awards, and the Academy right. is the people that like vote on who wins. But everyone in the Academy is like, it's just people in the business. It's like actors and producers and directors and stuff. So there's just so like
weird.
A group of people that are just like, yeah, I liked this person.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, with all the singers, they're like completely against the Oscars and all that stuff. So, and Grammys, they're against both. I remember Eminem talking about it and basically saying, fuck you guys, because you're all snobs and you don't really understand what's going on anyway. But I mean, good that she was, put in place for an award or nominated at least. That's some recognition right there for her dedication.
So yeah, like getting nominated is just like a bunch of your friends were like, hey, I think you did a really good job, pretty much.
Thanks. Nice. Yeah, I mean, granted, her performance throughout the whole movie was just solid.
Yeah.
Like you said, the speech, the emotions that you can read from her face, the distress that she shows. I mean, it was spot on. It basically was, you know, you couldn't tell that it was acting. Now, what do you think of finding out that there's more vibranium in the world? What do you think
of I honestly thought it was kind of dumb. At first I was thinking maybe it's necessary because obviously you want the bad guys to like be able to put up like a really strong fight against the Wakandans, and like if they didn't have vibranium then you'd be like, how are the Wakandans losing this fight when they have the strongest weapons in the world? But at the same time, I feel like if you're just going to be like, oh yeah, there's more vibranium, then that feels like that's, then you're just opening the gate for that to happen whenever. Like it kind of makes Wakanda a little bit less special because it, like, now there's two civilizations with vibranium, and what if like 10 years from now they're like, oh surprise, there's a third civilization with vibranium.
Right, basically. Yeah No, I'm right there with you. And to me, I thought it was interesting because at the start of the first movie they were tracking down these weapons that were Wakandan weapons because of the vibranium. So in my mind I was like, well, if they have this tracking capability of this precious stone, power stone, how the hell have they not discovered the other civilization? Because it's like right there and they have a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And it's funny because like they kind of made the merman civilization out to be like super strong and stuff like that, but they just weren't as high tech, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that was another thing I didn't really understand is like, I feel like in Wakanda, the vibranium is just like a really valuable resource. And it's like this civilization was able to get like decades ahead of everyone else because they had this super cool metal that can like do all of this fancy stuff. And so they have all these high tech machines and stuff. But the vibranium with Talokan was like almost a completely different substance. Like it was like magical. It wasn't like they had super fancy gear or anything like that. It was just like they, for some reason, like mutated to breathe water, and then they like had this ability to like sing to people and make them kill themselves.
Yeah, and don't forget like the self-healing ability of their bodies.
They're like
too.
Literally like unkillable, because at one point Okoye straight up like stabs one straight through the gut, and then they just like get back up.
Right, which is a funny turnaround from when they rescued the princess from the cavern underwater and they shot some type of specific bullet or
I think
laser
she said it was like a sonic
something.
Round or something like that.
Yeah, whatever that is. And that actually killed them. So I don't
know
exactly.
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. It's weird.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of took me off guard. And also they were around since the 1500 BC era.
Yeah.
So if they have been around for way longer than the Wakandan people,
I don't think they give us a date for when Wakanda was founded.
I mean, that's true, but they basically said like, hey, like they've been around for much longer than, you know, any of us have been.
But I think it's also confusing because it's just like, obviously part of their ability is from the vibranium, but also if they've been living underwater for, what is it like? 600, 700 years. I'm bad at math, but I feel like they don't really look like they've adapted to the water any.
So like, true. Yeah, they were still swimming with regular feet and regular like, you know, hands. No,
yeah,
gills.
And like the scene where Shuri goes and she's like exploring Talokan and there's like all those people and it's like supposed to be this big beautiful moment and you see everyone swimming around, and I know like they were trying to like make it feel more real because they used like a lot of that scene was just people actually swimming, but you could tell like it didn't feel like people who live underwater. It felt like a bunch of people holding their breath and swimming around, and you could see like whenever people were like flailing their arms and like barely moving 2 inches, and I'm like, yeah, that's how humans swim, but like if you live underwater you should be able to swim better than that.
No, I'm right there with you. Yeah, like the way that their leader swam, that was, you know, that was of someone that was living underwater for however many years they were underwater for.
Yeah,
he was moving like a fucking torpedo and using his whole body as a propellant versus like his regular civilians who were just like paddling their hands, you know,
right,
trying to move left to right and that kind of stuff, which like you said is a little bit strange that they did that. And also I don't feel like the city when they introduced it was super beautiful.
Yeah,
I do think it was like too dark. There were just a lot of people swimming around, and like yeah, I get that they used, you know, the stone to bring the sun. I think he had a quote when they went down there. He basically was like, I brought the sun my people. In the depths of the ocean, I brought the sun to my people, is what he said.
Yep.
And I just think that, yeah, like that is a good thing. But also, you know, you can somehow find a specific type of gillyweed or use the stones or anything like that for like street lights or like in-home lights or something like that.
It was very dark down there.
Yeah, it was like they had that one shot of like what I assume to be like a main road or, you know, a main walkway, whatever you want to call it. And there was like a ton of people swimming around and, you know, swimming past each other, like kind of like a market. And I was like, it's just so dark.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense because it's so far underwater. But if you're going to say that they've been down there for however many years building this important home to them, give them some fucking light. Make it look lively.
Yeah. It just like they tried to do the whole comparison at the end where I didn't like that moment either. But we can talk about that in a second. But when they're fighting at the end and then Shuri like in her mind sees Wakanda and then Talo Khan and she's like comparing them. And they're like, no, we're the same. I'm like, no, no, no. The stuff you saw in Talokan was like blit.
No, yeah.
I'm right. Like obviously people were enjoying themselves, but it just like it didn't look as lively and fun.
It looked as like some third world country stuff, quite honestly. It really did look like a civilization that was holding on to like dear life, trying to figure out what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just got this thought, like, what do they even eat?
I would assume fish.
I would assume fish too, but I never saw anyone eating. And when they did serve food, it was like regular human food.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That you could find on the surface. So I don't know. There's just, that's one thing where I think they kind of dropped the ball on is I know they wanted us to emotionally connect with his world down below and his people. Like when she was in the suit and she like waved to the kid and said hi, and then they like swam away. Like that, I thought in my mind, it was a little bit like, almost scary and terrifying because it was just a dark, dimly lit, like, I don't know, like alleyway almost.
Yeah. I also, and even his
like specific room was kind of like a cave.
the moment at the end of the fight when, I don't know. Have you seen, Batman versus Superman?
I have not. No.
Okay. Well, I want to spoil something for you. So I hope you're not like planning on watching it anytime soon.
That's fine. But you better let the audience know you're about to spoil something.
Hey, if any of you haven't seen Batman versus Superman, don't waste your time.
Damn, it's that bad.
I've seen worse movies, but it's definitely down there.
Damn. Okay.
But there's a moment in Batman versus Superman at the end of their fight where Batman has a kryptonite spear and he's like holding it to Superman's throat and he's like about to stab him, and then Superman tells him you have to save Martha because Lex Luthor has kidnapped Superman's mom, whose name is Martha, and through some magical coincidence Batman's mother's name is also Martha. And so Batman like freaks the fuck out and he's like, why did you say that name? And it's like the goal of the scene was like to be like Batman realizing that like, yes, Superman is an alien, but like he still has humanity in him and like he cares about his mother and he's like, he's not some crazy person here to like destroy the planet. He's just like trying to save his mom. Yeah, and so that's okay. Like, it's supposed to be this emotional connection between Batman and Superman, but just like the way that the execution just like doesn't play off that way. And it just like is cheesy, like this, like it comes off as if Batman, who has spent the entire movie planning to kill Superman, lets him go just because their moms have the same name. And it's just like, it's weird. And I feel like in this movie it felt like almost the exact same scene, because Shuri also has a spear to Namor's throat and is like about to kill him, and then she like has this flashback and she's like, you have people and I have people, oh my god, I guess, well, I won't kill you.
I don't know. I would kind of disagree. It wasn't only that. It was also like her in that moment, because she was also kind of like hurt big time. You never know all the stuff that happens when you're hurt. Like your brain goes fucking haywire. But she also got that flashback from her mom, and her mom was like, look, show him who you are.
No, that's true. And I think that helps a lot. Yeah. But I think that for me, that scene was like only a few steps above the Batman scene.
I mean, it did kind of come out of left field, and I'm surprised that.
And obviously, it's not like I wanted her to. It's not like I wanted her to kill Namor because he's an interesting character. But yeah. It didn't feel like it didn't feel natural to me that she would just like back out last second.
Yeah, but I feel like that happens in all of these types of movies where it's like, oh, you're about to die, and then they're like, well, if I show you that I'm good, which she did and spared his life, then basically you owe me for your life.
Yeah.
But okay. Who knows, if they make a new movie at one point, maybe that will be repaid.
Yeah. Speaking of, since we've, I guess, sort of avoided up until now, we've mostly been talking about the Wakandan characters, but how did you feel about Namor?
Bro, I thought this dude was OP. He was so overpowered. It was crazy. I do think it was interesting the fact that, like, they gave him pointy ears that point to this, to the clouds, and then these little winged feet things. I wish they would have, I don't know, because he's the one, I don't know why he got all that stuff, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, he mentions, like, briefly that he was like, oh, I'm a mutant. And so I guess the idea is, like, the maybe something about the fact that everyone else, like, well, I don't know, because it couldn't have been, I don't know. I guess something about being, like, already in the womb when his mom ate the plant, like, somehow, I guess, made him different from everyone else.
Maybe,
but
I don't know.
Yeah,
because it's, like,
it's also just like a random mutation.
Yeah, because, like, all the other people and the kids that were born after parents ate the plant, the people were already like 100%. So I feel like they would have been even stronger than him.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think maybe something about, like, being conceived on land but then born underwater is different than people who are just, like, fully created underwater.
Could be. But I do wish that they would have explained that a little bit more. Like, because his character was so important, like, there should have been, like, I feel like a better backstory to how he got all these powers and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think just that their attempt was just like, oh yeah, I'm a mutant, and they're just like, yeah, we're not gonna explain this, just deal with it.
Yeah, basically. That's kind of the vibes I got. But I mean, I do think it was cool that they figured out his weakness so fucking fast. Good for them. They guessed it correctly, and then they built, like, the ship that, you know,
yeah,
basically rendered him a lot, you know, less powerful. But at the same time, like, this dude was still fucking an OG in that plane while he was, you know, being sucked out of power.
I did like the I did like the way that he, like, skipped through the air with his little wing feet.
No, I agree.
Like, he was, like, hopping back and forth, and it was like, it looked cool.
It did look cool, but I just don't understand how. Like, those little things, physics, it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, they break a lot of physics in these movies.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, and then again, like, it, whenever they were filming, like, the fighting scene, he got, like, one of his fins ripped out of one of his feet. And then I'm like, does it regenerate? Like, if they lose, like, an arm, does their arm regenerate back?
I don't know. That's I would assume it'll grow back, but
yeah,
that's, like, I guess we'll find out in whatever the next movie that he's in.
Yeah. Like, what happens with fish? Do their fins grow back? No, right?
No. Octopuses.
They can grow legs and shit.
They can grow stuff back, and, like, starfish can regenerate. But, like, if you, like, rip a fin off of, like, a shark or something, it's not growing back.
Right. What did you think about that character?
I thought, like I said, I thought his abilities were cool, and I thought it was fun that they, like, gave him and his people this, like, Mesoamerican backstory, where it's like, because Namor in the comics is just, like, he's, like, the king of Atlantis, but obviously they changed it from being Atlantis because they didn't want any confusion with, like, because Atlantis is also in DC, and, like, Aquaman is the king of Atlantis in the DC universe. And so to avoid confusion with that, rather than this being Atlantis, it's called Talokan, and it's, like, this ancient city from these Mayan people. And I thought that that was an interesting way of bringing the character and the civilization into the universe without it seeming cheesy. And also, like, I guess it's I guess I don't know if this played as well with Hispanic audiences as the first one did with African audiences. But it's also like a nice way to have more inclusion in the series.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. I mean, I feel like it was definitely a good step in the direction of, you know, their rituals and their history as a people. And I did think it was really cool to see, you know, that kind of like past tense civilization, because I can't think of any other movie or show that does that.
Yeah, I do think it was a little weird that like when he introduces himself, he says, "My name is Namor," but then everyone who's not from Talokan calls him Namor. And I'm like, what? Did they mishear him, or like, why is everyone purposely mispronouncing his name? And like, I kind of get it, because in like the comic book, his name is Namor and it's pronounced as Namor. But then in the movie, he specifically says it's Namor and everyone else still calls him Namor. And I'm like, I don't know if that doesn't work. You got to choose one.
I didn't even notice that. So that you're on your own there. that's a you thing. I didn't even cross my mind. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was kind of cheesy that they were like pretty much a copy and paste of Wakanda. Like, not only did they have the vibranium, but then like also, you know, like the Wakandans have the thing where they like put their arms over their chest, and then the Talokani people do the weird like baby shark thing with their hands.
Yeah.
I was like, why does everyone have to have a fancy hand sign?
I don't know. I feel like that's just a way that people back in the day could like tell each other apart from different tribes.
I don't know.
And I thought it was pretty cool that his throne down there was a giant shark mouth.
Yeah. And there was also the I don't remember what it is in Mayan, but he has the like Rise Talokan chant, which is like, I guess it makes sense that like I have nothing wrong with them having like a battle cry, but it just added on to everything else where it felt like we're just going to take everything that the Wakandans do and change it a little bit.
I can see that. It didn't bother me at all, but I definitely see where you're coming from. I guess they had the free reign to make these people whatever they wanted, and then they chose to keep them quite similar, which could definitely be a little bit frustrating for viewers. What did you think about the Black Panther coming back and how that came about?
I think it was kind of garbage.
Really?
I think I loved the scene of like, I like watching Shuri in the lab because she like, she's the scientist. And so like watching her like in the beginning was fun when she was trying to recreate the herb and save T'Challa. And then when she finds out and she's like, oh, if I take the like the strings off of this bracelet, maybe I can use that to help recreate the herb. And it was like all of the scenes where she's like doing sciencey stuff. Love that shit, because I feel like that's her character. But then when she puts the suit on and she's like fighting, she just like meh. Like she doesn't. First of all, she just like doesn't have the physique for it, I feel like. And it's not even like a, it's not even like it has to be like a dude, but it's just like Letitia Wright specifically is like a very lanky person. She just has like very long, thin limbs. And I feel like it just looks weird in the Black Panther suit.
Yeah, I definitely see that.
And I don't know. I just felt like, why does Shuri need to be everything? Like, she's queen of Wakanda. She's the head scientist. She's the Black Panther. She's like, she freaking does everything. And I feel like you could have like pass it off to someone else. There's plenty of other people that could have been the fighty person. I feel like Shuri's not a fighty person.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, piggybacking off what you just said, whenever Sydney saw her like fighting, she was like, wait, like, does she know how to fight? Basically because it didn't look like she did.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree. Like, I do wish that maybe she gave that role to someone that had like a little bit of a lesser role, but could definitely take the part of being, you know, this strong fighter.
They could have given it to Nakia. I think Nakia would have made a great Black Panther.
Oh, I agree. And I don't know. I also think that with how their trials go and all that stuff, I wish they would have made it to where their flower only works with the people that are pure at heart. Like maybe she would have given it a try and somehow they knew that it would have failed making her the Black Panther. But then like, you know, one of her other people that is pure at heart and is a fighter and has good intentions in mind would then try it and it would have worked. Like, I feel like that would have been almost a better route to go than
putting her on the lab tables. It was too late to do something like that because they already had in the first movie, Killmonger also took the herb and he was obviously a bad dude.
True. But like this one was genetically modified. So there could have been like a difference there.
Fair.
I wish that would have been the thing versus having someone again that just wanted to, you know, pay back time. And her meeting Killmonger should have been that sign of like, if she saw that happen, and then even if she would have been like, oh, wow, now I'm the Black Panther, I feel like she should have been the person to step down from that role and be like, look, I can't be the Black Panther, so I'm giving this to someone else. I don't know exactly how you trade it over, how you lose being that Black Panther, but
they have another thing that they can drink that takes the power away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wish she would have been like, okay, I just met this evil dude, and they made it clear a few times that she knew this guy was evil because she didn't want to tell anyone who she met with.
Yeah.
And then I feel like if she would have just stepped down from her role and given it to someone else because she knew that that power was just too much for her in her current state of mind, would have worked really well.
That was also a crazy scene when she goes into the ancestral plane, because obviously like they set it up as if she's going to like see her mom. And like when Nakia is pouring the stuff in her mouth, she's like, Ramonda, please come to your daughter and all that. And there's like flashes and she like remembers her mother dying and all that. And then when she gets there, it's like, I don't know. I got worried again because she's like calling out to her mom and no one responds. And then it shows the throne and you like kind of see someone on it. But I was like, it panned around the throne so incredibly slowly. I got worried for a second. I was like, oh shit, are they going to like fucking do T'Challa? Like, I was worried about it in the first scene, and then I got worried again in the scene. I was like, please don't like try to like CGI Chadwick Boseman in this chair right now to like say goodbye to his sister.
But then
it was Killmonger, and it just like it took me off guard. Was not expecting him at all.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I don't know if I don't know if the way they played that. Yeah, it makes sense. But if they would have made it to where the Black Panther was someone else because she realized that she's just not right for the power and Killmonger made her realize that in that instance, that would have been cool. But I don't know, they just went along with it, which kind of upset me because the people kind of knew that she was already, even that bear guy, the bear leader of his people, knew that she was kind of kill hungry.
Also
payback hungry.
The Jabari worship gorilla god, not bears.
Oh, gorilla. Big animal. yeah. But like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I feel like he could have, you know, talked her out down of it because he was also like, this isn't what your mom would want and this isn't what I want. And then she was like, you're going to do this with me. And I'm like, ooh, like that's a bad look.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was a good setup for the scene where she almost kills Merman and then doesn't.
I do like mentioning M'Baku. I think Winston Duke is a fucking national treasure and every scene that he's in, he is my favorite character.
Really? Why?
He's just so, like, I don't know, he's so versatile. I feel like when he's doing, like, a jokey scene, he's always the funniest character. But then he also has, like, in moments, like, during Ramonda's funeral, when he, like, goes and talks to Shuri and is like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I'm here for you and all that stuff. Like, he's, like, a really good, serious actor, but then also, like, he's got the jokes, like, left and right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like he's really good at both of those things.
Both of the roles.
And I even just like a little thing, like the first time you see him when he walks into the throne room and he's just like chomping down on the fucking biggest carrot I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. And then like they kind of like, you know, got talked down by, you know, the queen and her people. And then he like bit a piece out of his carrot and like walked away. I thought it was pretty good.
And then you see when he has the whole thing where like when Wakanda's under attack and he's like, oh shit, there's the fish guy, and he goes to try and fight him, and then Namor like punches the fuck out of him, and when he flies back he like gets up and he's like, oh, and yeah, just like yeah, the little yeah. like reaction that he does. And then later he like obviously being super dramatic because he got punched so big, He's like, how are we supposed to fight this guy? He's like pretty much as strong as the Hulk.
Yeah, I love that he said that. He's like the Hulk strength. And that coming from Gorilla Dude, big guy, you know, that's impressive.
I did like that.
Granted, he fucking shit on his armor with that one punch.
For sure. Like
I'm surprised destroyed. It didn't go through his chest. Yeah, like it was crazy.
But yeah, I did like that. And I guess this is also a thing where we'll just have to like see what happens in the future. But at the end, because Shuri goes to Haiti and she doesn't show up for the ceremonial fight. And so M'Baku is there and is like, hey, I'm here to challenge everyone. And I'm like, does that mean that he's going to be the king of Wakanda now since Shuri didn't show up? Because like,
yeah, I don't understand
who else
that
is gonna,
either.
Who's going to beat him in the fight? No one.
Right. No one is. But quite honestly, like, I wouldn't mind him being the king of Wakanda. And then
I think that would be amazing.
That'd be super great. And then at one point when Chadwick's kid grows up, then he, you know, kick his ass and get the throne back.
Well, he'll be a fucking old man by then.
True. True. Or not. Maybe like a teenage small Chadwick Boseman kid can kill him or beat him in the trials. Who knows? Left kind of a few things with open ends. Like, I don't exactly know what the regular humans are going to do now with all the information that they have. They freed that white spy guy. I forget his name, too.
Everett Ross. But
they freed him. And I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with him either, because now he's, you know, hunted by like all of humans.
How did you feel about that? All that stuff?
I don't know, dude. Honestly, like, I hated the part where she was like, well, I bugged the balls. And I was like, how? You're a human. You're an idiot. You don't know what these balls are or how they work. How did you, you know, how did you tag it? I don't know. And then if she did listen to all those conversations, then she should know that he was, you know, on the human's side. And he knew like that the Wakandans weren't the bad people because they were being under attack.
Well, I think she did know that. She just is also selfish and wants to take vibranium.
Maybe, yeah.
Because there was one scene where when he's like arguing with her and he's like, listen, I don't think we should be worried about the Wakandans. They have the most advanced technology in the world. And like, imagine what they could be doing with that vibranium. And he's like,
imagine,
he's like, imagine what the United States would be doing if we had all that vibranium. And she's like, ooh, trust me, I dream about it.
Yeah, she's fucking evil, that lady.
I
hope she dies at one point, honestly.
I just don't. She's boring. She's a boring character. She's been in, I want to say, like 3 or 4 things now.
Really?
And yeah, a lot. I think this is only her second time in a movie. She was at she showed up at the end of the Black Widow movie. And then I think she was in what show was she in? She's been in some of the Disney Plus shows as well. But like every time she shows up, it's just like I can tell that Falcon and the Winter Soldier she was in. But they're like trying to set her up for something. And she's like, I guess, going to be like this weird like government bad guy. But I feel like every time I see her, I'm just like, just get to the next scene. Like, I just like don't. There's nothing about her character that makes me interested in what she's doing.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think she was just kind of a nuisance. I think he was a lot more interesting, or is a lot more interesting than she is as a CIA operative and kind of a rat slash whatever informer, what he calls himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they just left that as a kind of an open end. They left when they broke him out as an open end. They also kind of left all of a sudden the Mer people, you know, as an open end. Like, you don't know exactly what they're going to do if they're actually a team with them. Because we got that one scene where that one lady was talking to their leader.
Yeah.
And she was pissed. And he was like, look, they did all this. So I don't know if like they're going to double cross Wakanda at one point. There's just so many unknowns. And all of a sudden, like, there's this kid. And like, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
It just ended like in a weird spot for me. It ended like extremely emotional. Yeah, true. I love that. But there was like no real like ending, because all the things that happened in the movie to lead up to this point weren't really resolved with the regular people, humans trying to take, you know, all that stuff. And I don't know.
Speaking of weird side characters that didn't need to be in this movie, how did you feel about Riri Williams?
Who that is?
That's the Iron Man girl.
Oh, I liked her character, quite honestly. I thought I liked that she was, you know, different and spoke, you know, as like the human slang would be
they're all human. I guess the Talokani are technically not human, but like pretty much.
You know what I mean. Yeah. Like with that typical young African American vibe. I like that she was extremely smart and like just outgoing and kind of naive to how good she is at shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked her energy. I did not personally like all like the Iron Man suits they came up with. I feel like they could have had a better solution for that. But overall, like her character, I kind of vibe with.
Yeah, I think they were just pushing too hard because they already have a show like lined up for her to be like, oh, this is going to be a show about Riri. But I felt I felt like her scenes were all just like setting the audience up for her show rather than be like it didn't. A lot of it didn't feel important to this story because like they what? Like well, because they like kept having what was it? They oh yeah, so like the when they're running away from the cops and then she like has the exact same like moment that Tony Stark had in the first Iron Man moment where she like flies super high up into the air and and then like falls back down and then saves herself at the last possible second.
Yeah, but it was a little bit different than Tony because
it was a little bit different, but not really.
Well, the thing that I liked about it is when she was flying up, you can tell she was doing some kind of calculation. Then she was like, oh, I'll land right before. And then she fainted. And then right when she came, right before she hit the water, she like regained consciousness and flew out of it. And I was like, oh, shit, she was doing the calculations for her fall and calculating all that stuff in her head. And I was like, that's fucking sick. Like with Tony Stark,
she was doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like she was pushing herself to catch the drone.
And no, I think she knew because she was calculating the altitude and then she was talking about like how much air she has left. And then she was like, oh, like I'll catch myself right before. And then she fainted. And I was like, yo, she was doing the math. Like she knew exactly where she was going to catch herself. And that's what I think the difference is between her and Tony.
I don't know. I'd have to watch Tony it again. But to relying. Me, it did not feel like she was planning on passing out. It felt like she was pushing herself and then she passed out.
I think, yeah, rewatch it and then like message me or we'll talk about it on here again at one point. But I'm pretty sure like 75% sure that's exactly what she was doing, because that's how I read it. She like said that and they caught herself right before she impacted the water. But yeah, you'll have to watch back and let me know.
But then there's also like even like when the cops bust in and there's that like weird ADR line where the cops bust in and they go, oh, shit, she's got an Iron Man suit. And I was like, yeah, that was cheesy as fuck, like super cringe for me
a little bit. But I also thought it was kind of funny. I don't know. Like, of course, this super genius kid, you know, who has the ability to build shit is going to build her own fucking suit, like a typical. I don't know. I thought it was pretty dope. And I'm glad they didn't reveal it till the people said that. And then you saw her like, fucking.
I mean, they kind of did. There. You could like you didn't see the suit, but like if she had all those drawings on the board.
Oh, I didn't even realize. Till that happened, but maybe I was just first time coming through watching it, you know, I don't really notice that much details and whatnot. But yeah,
I just watched the scene again.
Oh wow, what'd you think?
Okay, so she said she needs to adjust her Euler angles. I don't know what that means, but she said that should drop it right on the, and then she passes out. But she said drop it, so I think she's talking about where the drone is gonna drop, not where she's gonna drop.
Oh. Well, I like my viewpoint better, so I'm just going to keep it at that. Yeah, that's tough, but cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really have that much else to go on to.
I will say, okay, so the first time that Namor enters Wakanda, he like sneaks in all sneaky sneaky. And they're talking about it later and they're like, yeah, we didn't see anything in our sensors and the like the aerial cams didn't see anything. So he must have like swam underwater that whole way. And as soon as they were saying that, I was like, wait, but we literally just saw in the beginning of this movie that they have a huge border wall in the river. So I'm like, either the wall stops at the water and doesn't go underwater, or he somehow broke through the wall. And I feel like if he broke through the wall, that should have shown up on the sensors.
Yeah, I don't know how any of that. I don't know. Maybe he swam so deep that their border wall just didn't even.
But it's a river. Like, how deep is it?
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. They did say at one point that they need to like thicken the wall, the water security. So maybe that border wall doesn't go into the water.
Yeah, well, they fucked up then.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, I guess obviously they wouldn't want to like completely block the water because then the water can't get through. But
right, exactly.
I feel like they should have like some like sensors or imaging or something underwater.
They did say something about that at one point that they need to like, you know, double up on security down there. So maybe they just never thought of a merman slipping in below the lines right
and
there.
There's also when Ramonda is talking to Shuri about their, I don't remember his name, but the AI like voice robot thing that they're constantly talking to. And Queen Ramonda's like, I think AI is going to take over the world. And Shuri's like, Mom, AI isn't like the movies. He does exactly what I tell him to do. And I'm just like, bullshit, Shuri, because literally there was a whole ass movie. Shuri must have not watched Age of Ultron because literally in her world, AI tried to take over the world already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we watched Age of Ultron, you remember?
Yeah, but I don't know, like, it already happened in her world. Maybe that was
No, after? But they live in the same world.
Yeah, but maybe that came after this movie, so...
No, it didn't. Like, different. This movie is after Age of Ultron. All the movies we've watched already happened before this movie.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she just wasn't aware, bro.
Well, she dumb.
Yeah. I just think that was a little bit of a corny line, and then he was like, hey, you should do this, and she was like, you should listen to what I say.
Also, Okoye was right about the suits looking stupid, but they never get fixed. Those like weird blue suits that her and the other Dora warrior person wear at the end. Yeah. They're ugly. They're ugly as fuck.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they also had like the chest thing again, like Iron Man.
And well, yeah. And Riri's new suit at the end also super stupid. It looked like a freaking, I don't even know. It was like a Power Ranger or something. It was like cartoonish.
Yeah.
All
these suits I wasn't a fan of because there was, I don't know, they're drawing a little bit too much. If they had like specific elements, like maybe an arm bracelet or, you know, a leg thing or arm leg things that would, you know, let them fly and shit and then they fight regularly, that'd be cool. But I don't know. I agree that the suits maybe altogether were a little bit an overkill.
I think those water bombs looked dope.
Yeah, I just think that they did way too much damage, but that's just me.
Well, that was another thing I was confused about because I feel like in almost every scene, they'll put like one or two water bombs and it's like super massive amounts of destruction. But then at the end, they like literally have a fuck ton of those bombs under the ship. And then it like doesn't even sink the ship. It just stops the engine.
Well, it like turns it over on its side a little bit, but then it like recenters and I'm like, huh?
I'm like, wait, so are these strong bombs or are they not strong bombs?
Yeah. It was like a fat sack bigger than the whale. Like,
yeah,
it was a lot. And I was like, oh my God, this is like an atomic bomb worthy scale of little bombs. And then it was just like a minefield going off kind of.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, interesting.
I do think it's also... In addition to Shuri being stupid about AI, she also is like kind of stupid about the afterlife because when she's talking to M'Baku and he's like, this isn't what your mother would want for you. And she's like, yo, yeah, well, my mother doesn't exist anymore. And so all of her wants and hopes and desires, they also don't exist because she's gone. And I'm like, wait, but that scene happened after the scene where she talked to Killmonger. So I'm like, she's literally been to the ancestral plane and she still doesn't believe that people continue existing after they die.
Huh? True. Yeah. Yeah. You're pulling out all the things that like, see, me as a casual viewer, bro, I would never have fucking thought of that. I don't know. None of that ever came to mind. But I mean, it makes total sense now that you say it for sure. I mean, nothing I can say against it.
But yeah. I think overall, I really hope that we don't continue with Shuri as the Black Panther because like I said before, I think she works really well as a scientist character, but I really hate seeing her running around in the suit punching people. It's not entertaining.
Yeah, I can see that.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I the last thing that I kind of want to throw out there is I like that the very end it went black screen and it says dedicated to her friend Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, for sure.
Just want to put that out there. But yeah, I have no mas to say.
All right, well then let's move on to trivia.
Let's do it.
I don't have too many factoids here, but they are some interesting ones. It says here the exterior sequence on the MIT campus was actually filmed at MIT, which is, it's really like rare for them to grant permission to film on campus. But director Ryan Coogler was very persistent with them.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
The dorm room is a set, though. That's not actually a dorm room at MIT, but the outside stuff is actually at MIT.
That's pretty dope. I wonder how, like, do you think the school got a little bit of, you know, money?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, probably.
Because they would have had to, like, close off a section of the campus to, like, have all the film crew and stuff there.
Fair.
This says both Shuri and Rumanda have short hair a year after T'Challa's death because research showed that many cultures in Africa feature shaving your head as part of the mourning process.
Oh, wow.
So you can see in the opening scene, Shuri and Rumanda both have long hair. But then after the opening credits and they're like, oh, yeah, it's been a year since he died. And both of them have short hair.
That's a good point there. You get a lot of sense of their like rituals.
Yeah,
I feel like
It was Michael B. Jordan's idea for Killmonger's hair to be up so that it might look like Rumanda in the chair from behind.
Damn. Yeah, I, like you said, I saw something there in the chair, but I was like, I don't know. Like, there's no other, you know, people there. And it, you know, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Lupita Nyong'o, who is Kenyan-Mexican, was enthusiastic to show off her Spanish-speaking skills in the film.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, she has that scene where she goes down and she's, like, talking to that old lady. And she's hey, have you talked to these people? And she's like, get out of my face.
Basically, then she started speaking her, you know, the other people's language. Yeah, I don't know how she knew about it.
The Talokani language. I guess it would just be Mayan. I don't think their language would have changed since they went underwater.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because there's even after the fight scene on the bridge, the robot AI person is like, yeah, they're speaking an ancient dialect of Mayan. Yeah. Yucatec Mayan.
Yucatec Mayan. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty the dope language that they're speaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got.
We love those. Those are good. I didn't ask any like questions that you had, you know, some trivia for. So that's good.
Now it's time to get wrecked.
Let's do it. You want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. My recommendation for this week is going to be the new Harry Potter game, Hogwarts Legacy.
Bro, that was going to be mine.
Well, I said it first.
Oh my God. No chance.
Okay. Bro, this game is so much fun. Oh. I don't usually buy games early because I don't like spending that much money on a game.
Fair.
But shit, I like it.
Yeah, I know. My best buddy, one of my best friends, Cameron, he also is playing it. And it's like, he's in love with the game. The only thing that he said is like a negative for it is that you can't change like your character's faces as much as that he wishes you'd be able to, customization wise.
Yeah, the character customization is not very robust.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But I wouldn't even say that's like a huge problem. I managed to find one that I'm okay with. What I really don't like is the combat's kind of boring. Like, I feel like, and this is like the same kind of problem, honestly, that I have with the Harry Potter movies. And like I've said even on the podcast multiple times, I think I like the beginning Harry Potter movies more than I like the ones at the end, because the ones at the beginning feel more magical. And I feel like at the end, it's just like, they're pretty much just people with guns. Like the wands are just like, they're just shooting their wands at each other. And I'm like, they might as well just have pistols at this point.
Okay.
And that's kind of the same way the combat is in the game is like, obviously I'm like, I'm not too far into the game, so maybe more stuff will happen later. But like, one of the first things you learn is just like shooting someone with your wand and you're just like, pew, pew. And I'm just like, okay, but that's not magic-y.
Yeah. I mean, you have to like learn your spells at least. You have to, you know, and there's different paths you can take. And if you take the evil path, it like changes your whole character as a person.
Yeah, but pretty cool. I don't know. I've heard other people talking about it as well. Like even later in the game, a lot of the combat is just shooting each other.
I mean, but granted though, like even in like the Harry Potter books, a lot of the times when it was conflict, it was just basically running back and forth, shooting each other.
Well, that's dumb.
I don't know. Because
you remember the fight between Voldemort and Dumbledore at the Ministry. and they're like making like these huge waves crash into each other, and like there's fire and like all sorts of actual magical stuff happening. But then everyone else is just like, meh, here's a like little lightning bolt.
I feel you. I mean, but then again, you have to remember, like, that takes on a lot of magic versus, one second. Sorry, she's downstairs. At least I didn't record that. They're like big magicians, you know? So
wait, did you stop your recording?
I have a mute button.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cause like if you stop and then start again, then it's going to throw off the timing.
No. I have a mute button on my thing. Usually when I sneeze, I hit that. So you don't even know.
Gotcha.
But here, give me 1 second, 1 minute.
You don't just put your stuff back in the dryer?
No, I don't like it when the dryer is super, super dry.
Bro, I love that shit. If it comes out moist, I'm starting the dryer again.
Really? No, yeah. I don't want it to like dry up like with wrinkles and stuff.
Well, you just put wrinkle remover or something in there. I feel like I don't really have wrinkly clothes.
Wrinkle remover? That's a thing?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it. But yeah, so Harry Potter movie, that's definitely our recommendation to all of you viewers.
Harry Potter game.
Harry Potter, yeah.
I mean, you can also go and watch the Harry Potter movies. Yeah. but yeah, Hogwarts Legacy, good game. I guess if you're okay with the combat in the movies, then you'll also like the combat in the game. I just am not a huge fan of the pew pew. I wanted something more special.
Yeah, what I was saying is that, like, you know, Dumbledore and, you know, even Voldemort, they have basically the most power out of any wizard. So it makes sense for them to be able to conjure up those kind of spells. Like, you see when Hogwarts was falling and like Mad-Eye Moody and all the, you know, professors were fighting, they could do something like that. So maybe if, you know, you graduate being a fifth year, or even at the end of your fifth year, which is when the game starts at, you gain like those powers to be able to make spells like that, that most regular wizards couldn't conjure. I don't know.
Perhaps. I think the whole series could have used a little bit more creativity.
Maybe. Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, I do not have another rec. That was my rec, and it's a good one. So we're going to keep it at one today.
All right. That's a shared recommendation from us. Go play Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, do it.
And then you can let us know what you think about it. And I will tell you how right now. So first of all, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. You can tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of those things are in the description. Luca, what kind of messages can they send us?
They can send us anything from recommendations of, you know, movies they want us to review. You can send us recommendations of, you know, like food items for like our Get Wrecked section. You can also send us your feedback of if you liked what we do, how you liked our movie review, if you agree or disagree, your own opinions, all of that combined. Just send it to us via email, like he said, or through our Instagram. Just let us know.
Awesome. Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.